I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Jonathan Russ joins me again. It's been over 3 years since his last appearance on the program. He's been on a couple of times in the past and was a welcome guest here. He's a communications consultant with TDH Strategies, and now he's with civicscene.ca. It's a recently launched blog on municipal affairs in Vancouver, adding another voice to the growing numbers online discussing urban affairs and more. The blog will look at politics and policy making, managed by Jonathan, and progressive voices across the continent. The website is civicscene.ca, and TDH Strategies is at tdhstrategies.com. I'm pleased to welcome back to the Planta Online program, Jonathan Ross. Good morning, Mr. Ross.
Thank you very much, Joseph.
I guess congratulations are in order. I see that you've recently gotten married.
I'm a newlywed and just getting adjusted to being locked down, but no, I'm very happy. We just we just moved into a place in East Vancouver and finally getting settled. So very, very pleased about how things have gone.
The blog at tdhstrategies.com, it seemed everyone read that, and it had been dormant for a while. Are you enjoying writing again here at civicscene.ca?
Yeah, I missed it, to be honest with you. I stopped because a number of reasons. I guess I had had my fill at the time. I had been doing it for 4 years previous. I had been a supporter of Michael Ignatieff back in 2006, and I guess I was a little disenchanted with the loss. He came in second to Stefan Dion at the time, and quite frankly, I was just ready to focus on my business and grow my business. But to be back with Civic Scene it's fun. I mean, the big difference is that civic affairs and municipal affairs is a little more finite, a little more detailed, and so it's a little tougher to come up with the topics and keep abreast of everything, but I'm doing my best to make things kind of accessible for people to read and keep it interesting.
There's just been a surfeit of blogs on municipal affairs. Journalists in the mainstream media, they have their own blogs. Your blog, thecitycaucus.com. Well, why do you think there is a great deal of discussion on politics and policy at the municipal level, at the urban level?
Well, I think in regards to Vancouver, first we have the Olympics. And this past municipal election, we saw an outrageous amount of money poured in by all the parties involved and the most media coverage ever. I mean, this is, I thought after 2002 when Larry Campbell swept to power that, you know, that was the height of scrutiny. But, you know, things have been really ramped up. And again, it's a combination of the Olympics and the importance of taking control at the municipal level in Vancouver. And then just on a more broad level, municipalities are really kind of the engines of a lot of different social trends, economic trends across the country. And, by far, not only in terms of the public voting intentions and voter turnout, but in terms of media, it's generally been the poor cousin amongst all three levels of government. So I think that people are realizing the importance attached to municipal affairs, and they're realizing that there's a lot of implications beyond the typical garbage pickup type of stereotypes that go along with civic politics.
Well, what do you think it says about the journalists, the commentators, and the so-called mainstream press? Are they not as reliable, do you think?
I wouldn't go that far. I do think that there are stalwarts in Vancouver that have been covering municipal affairs for many years, and they are still, a source for me in just terms of, breaking stories and just keeping abreast of things that I'm not aware of. So, no, I wouldn't go that far at all. I just think that you're getting a lot of, you're rounding out the perspectives in terms of, the politics and the policy. You're getting the entire spectrum of commentators now. So it's just rounding out the sphere or the blogging community or the journalism community on municipal affairs rather than trumping mainstream journalists.
I guess it's a symptom of the state of the media, because even established journalists, I mean, a lot of the journalists at the Courier, for example, the Vancouver Courier, they have blogs, and a lot of the stuff that I guess is in the blog wouldn't get into the paper.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because guys like Mike Howell, who has his 12th and Canby blog, a lot of those things, when you're preparing a column for a newspaper, you're you're expected to cover a certain amount of words, and it has to have some teeth to have some levels to it in terms of a story. And sometimes you need to say these quick little hits, or it's just a lot easier to put things on a blog and get the discussion going rather than going through the editing process and the research and so on and so forth. And this is not to say that blog entries are any less researched or any less valuable, but the way things are changing, particularly in terms of municipal politics, because you have so many different announcements and you have your council meetings every biweekly, sometimes the blog and the instant gratification that viewers and readers can get off of online commentaries, it's just a lot more applicable for that type of news coverage.
There's another prominent blog in the city I mentioned earlier, citycaucus.com. Do you read them?
No, absolutely. I definitely do read them. They're, Daniel Fontaine. I've actually worked with Daniel in the past in another sphere of provincial politics. We've worked together, and we've crossed paths in the federal realm as well. But Daniel was the chief of staff to, of course, former Mayor Sam Sullivan. And his partner is Mike Klassen. And as far as I know, Mike did a lot of the online and website management for Sam, too. So they're definitely MPA. To be fair, they have been critical of the MPA at times. But they're definitely Sam Sullivan loyalists. And the one thing that is very clear is they're very critical of the current government. And that, I suppose, puts me at odds because I don't really hide the fact that I'm a supporter of the current government. I managed a couple campaigns last year, managed Raj Hundle's successful park board campaign. He's now the chair. And Kashmir Dhaliwal, of course, came in 11th out of 10th, closest that a South Asian candidate has ever come to being elected at the municipal level. So, I mean, we're definitely at different ends of the political spectrum, but I most definitely read them, and I often put counterpoints up to a lot of their points.
I had lunch with Mike Klassen last week, and he's a neighbor, and he'll actually be on the program later this week. Do you think that the reading their blog, you do, as you mentioned, see a lot of opposition to this current government. Is that criticism, do you think, founded?
No, I will say that I'm not going to go as far as to say that everything they do is political rhetoric, because they're very resourceful. They are definitely have provided a resource in terms of gathering information. And there are absolutely some criticisms and some points they have made that are absolutely valid. That being said, in my humble opinion, they tend to go overboard. And the mundane becomes the mountain. The molehill becomes the mountain. And they tend to attack for the sake of attacking. So I won't discount all their commentaries, and I won't say that they don't provide a resource, because they are very good at what they do. There's no doubt about it. Daniel's a brilliant strategist. Anyone who's worked with him knows the depth of knowledge. And I don't know Mike personally, but he's very engaged as well. But to me, it's for all that brilliance and all that expertise and all that experience you have with those two individuals, it's caught up in the fact that the partisan stuff tends to overshadow it a lot of the time, which is unfortunate.
So you mentioned that you're supportive of this current government, the vision government in
sure.
at Cambie at 12. Are they doing everything right? I mean, is there anything wrong that you see that they're doing?
No, I mean, there's a lot of every government comes to office with great intentions, and there have been some bumps along the way. For example, the way the homelessness shelters were handled, both on Howe and Granville Streets, it was a big issue in the way the Falls Creek residents reacted. And now, I'm not a big fan of NIMBYism. I've written about that on my site, and I tend to think that Vancouver is very much based on NIMBYism, or a lot of the pockets of Vancouver neighborhoods are based on that. On the other hand, I will say this, is that there could have been a lot more consultation with the way those homeless shelters were opened up into neighborhoods with residences, with family, so on and so forth. And there was an opportunity to do more. So, I mean, there have been mistakes and there have been bumps, and that's with every government. So I'm not going to say they're perfect, but I definitely think that They have one of the most, if not the most ambitious agenda that's ever been unveiled at the municipal scene. And as far as I'm concerned, they've gone on a lot of different tracks to fulfill them. And I know I questioned certain things. For example, the fact that Gregor campaigned on a greenest city, making Vancouver the greenest city by 2020, and the greenest city in the world. I thought there was a lot of hyperbole. But on the other hand, a lot of the things that he's been doing, a lot of the steps he's taken with the Greenest City Action Team and the recommendations and now an economic development strategy based around green initiatives, there is some teeth, there is some depth there, and I've been won over. So there are certain tracks that I see progressing forward, the homelessness front, the Greenest Action Team front, so on and so forth, that, you know, this ambitious agenda is moving forward.
Will you have chickens in your backyard?
Well, I'm currently a tenant, not owning, and my backyard is under the run of someone else. So, as much as I might be attracted to having those 10-foot high fences with chickens running around, I'll have to wait till I own my own house.
Are you able to gauge through your readership just how engaged the citizen is? I mean, sure, there are lots of websites, you know, bloggers and the sort, not only yours and Mike and Daniel's, but people like Michael Geller and Stephen Reese and the sort, and Francis Beulah, of course. Despite just having blogs and websites, do you find that there is a demand for this sort of information, this sort of discussion?
I'm actually surprised at how engaged people are. You know, for the most part, again, it's a smaller community. There's no doubt about it. It is a smaller community, and there are the same people that are active on the blogs in terms of commenting, in terms of reading. That being said, and having been through a civic campaign, I see more of a groundswell of people being engaged at the municipal level, and possibly that's as a result of the Olympics and the scope of what municipal politics has become, particularly within this term. So yeah, I'm a little surprised, and I'm actually very encouraged. Now, this is not to say that voter turnout rates have been dramatically improved, because they haven't, and it's still a real shame at the amount of people that can't even be bothered with civic politics. But there is something that has changed in the last couple of years. As someone who's, you know, I worked in the 2002 election with a party that was, you know, a fledgling party that started up called VCA Team, and they started the months before, or the year before that election, and they got trounced, as it happens. But, you know, I've been around for the municipal political scene in Vancouver for, you know, 7 years on, and there's definitely a lot more engagement and intelligence and depth of knowledge than I've ever seen before.
Let's move provincially. This HST, the implementation of that, within the next year or so, what do you make of the opposition to it? What do you make of Campbell putting that in?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, there was blatant deception within the campaign in regards to the HST. There is absolutely no way that within the context of that April-May campaign that either the finance minister or the premier or both didn't know that an HST had been put on the table by the bureaucrats and their top officials. So I have a hard time believing that it was just something that happened as a result of financial, economic, difficult times post-election. It's an easy target for the NDP to attack. Campbell's obviously done it early in his term, because that's what you do, and then you ride out the storm. Although, as things are progressing, there are a lot more things that are sticking to Gordon Campbell than I've ever seen before. So the HST was possibly the tidal wave that could start a wave of opposition that will replace the BC Liberals in 2013. With regards to municipalities, it's a very challenging thing. There are a lot of expenses and costs that municipalities are going to have to face with the HST. And I was actually very shocked, because the UBCM conference that just happened with all the municipalities from across British Columbia had almost a split vote in terms of whether to relinquish the HST or not. There was a resolution, and it was very much split. So I don't understand the municipal politicians, other than political affiliation, the municipal politicians that were agreeing with the HST, but from a pure administrative standpoint, the HST presents huge amounts of problems to municipalities who are already starved for cash. And then lastly, in terms of the federal, you know, my sources and people back in Ottawa are telling me that HST motion by the government will be coming within a week or two, and they will be putting it forth so that the NDP will be forced to vote against it and take the stand that they have for the past couple months. And the Liberals, I don't know how they'll be able to agree with it after all the opposition. So I think it's the poison pill that everyone has been expecting, and this might be the way that the Conservatives get to an election without actually looking that they've engineered one.
Now, you were a Liberal in exile for a long time. Are you part of the party now that Michael Ignatieff is a leader?
Absolutely. I the day that the day that Paul Martin resigned as leader, I went in and renewed my membership for an extended period of time, and I've been active ever since. I was an active member of the Michael Ignatieff campaign back in 2006, and a delegate in Montreal. And I do work with some MPs, you know, assist some MPs such as Sukh Dhaliwal and Ruby Dalla on communications and policy issues as well. So I'm fully engaged in the party, and yeah, it's tough times. It's been a very rough stretch for the past couple weeks, particularly. But you know, I'm not going anywhere. You ride with. Well, in my world, you ride with the people that you you started with, and you don't switch political affiliation for convenience. So I'm not going anywhere despite the tough times.
And so if there is an election, is Michael Ignatieff prepared to take the party and win, perhaps? What about all this iffy stuff that he's been stuck with the last couple of weeks?
There's no doubt about it. Michael's in a little bit of a hole right now that he's going to have to dig himself out of. And there's a lot of different steps that need to be taken. I think there has to be an examination of broadening the circle that he surrounds himself with. But, yeah, Michael Ignatieff has what it takes. He always has had what it takes. And I think that, you know, a straightening out of some of the strategic lines that have been fed to him and the strategic thinking that have been fed to him, and a consistent effort just to establish both himself and the party is what's needed right now. But he's absolutely someone that can be prime minister and that can engage Canadians. The one thing I will say is that, you know, the Liberal Party just has to do a better job of putting itself and its leader out there and defining who we are and what we're about. We need more policy. We definitely need more policy out there. And we need... Michael's a very engaging and very, very charismatic man when he wants to be. I've seen some, for example, we had a forum with him last year where he came out to Kwantlen College and he encaptured the room. He was brilliant. And I've seen him. I've seen him take crowds and silence them and make them eat out of the palm of his hand. So he's got charisma, he's got the depth of knowledge, and that's what attracted me to him originally. That depth of knowledge, that understanding of issues, and I just, you know, we need to show that more. And that's the biggest thing that I think the Liberals need to do at this point. It's not a matter of changing leaders, it's not about this political infighting, it's about establishing what the party is about and also what the leader is about.
Jonathan, thanks for coming on today, I appreciate it, and continued good luck with the website, we'll be reading it.
Thanks very much, Joseph. Always a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Jonathan Ross on the line. The website's again, civicscene.ca, tdhstrategies.com in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.